Welcome to Charting the Course, a podcast from Full Sail Capital, dedicated to providing you with insights, assurance, and confidence to grow and manage generational wealth. Full Sail Capital is a fiduciary registered investment advisor managing more than $1 billion with a focus on integrity, competency, and transparency.
My guests today are the founding partners of Full Sail Capital, David Stanley, Scott Gravens, and Zach Reynolds. In this episode, we hear the origin story of Full Sail. I know you'll enjoy our conversation and hope it serves you along your journey. Thanks for coming by today, guys. You all are incredibly humble individuals when you're talking about yourselves, so I'm going to ask each of you to introduce each other. So David, would you please introduce Mr. Scott Cravens?
I think the best way you introduce somebody is to kind of tell the story of how you met them and how you knew them and how you knew. We had to feel pretty good about each other to be partners in this, right? So I interviewed Scott. He came to work for me at a previous employer, and you think you know everything about somebody and you're pretty sure and you're pretty pumped when that person comes and works for you. When I really knew him was after I got a call from one of my clients that said, Dave, and here's a widow, high net worth individual in one of our nicest neighborhoods in our city. She calls me and says, I need $40,000. And I said, well, great. We'll get it to you, but what do you need it for? And she told me she had a sewage problem at her house, and the contractors that had come out had told her, why, you're going to have to reroute this whole new system back out to your street, past your new pool, all this kind of stuff. $40,000. I said, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you take just some time and let me send my colleague out, Scott Cravens, and let him look at this to see if what they're telling you is correct? And she said, sure. So he bounced right out there, gives me a call while he's out there. He'd called his plumbing contractor to meet him there. And basically, long story short, there was only 10 feet of her sewage line that had collapsed. He was able to go in with this contractor and get that fixed for about $1,800 for this lady. And I saw the exhilaration on this guy for protecting someone who's going to be exploited horrifically. And just the satisfaction he got in protecting her. And he didn't get a commission for doing it. We didn't get extra fees for doing it. That's when I knew that character.
That's amazing. Scott, to back to follow, but would you introduce Mr. Zach Reynolds, please?
Yeah, I will. Zach and I met at first. We were both interns at a trust company here in Oklahoma City. And he was on the investment side. And I was primarily brought in to help with the family owner's real estate initially. And I was asked to consult on another client's real estate holdings. But we began to set into meetings together. And as I got to better know Zach, I realized that he was a student of his craft. And that's what I really respected about him more than anything else. And as we sat in these rooms, I got to know and realize that there were synergies between the way that we saw the world, the way that we viewed our role for clients. And these are things like, he always leads with integrity. He's always going to tell you what you need to hear, even if it's not what you want to hear. And he's always going to be able to support his position on anything. That's something that you rarely find in people. And it's what I immediately took note of with him and respected.
And he supports those opinions with nothing but pure emotion, correct? Rarely have any facts or stats to back it up.
Yes. The antithesis of what you just said is the truth, which is that there is no emotion in what he says. And I think that's what makes it so powerful. And it's certainly what makes his opinion as an investment manager powerful, because that's what people fall victim to. And I learned that from watching him, is people fall victim to their biases, their emotions, their fears. And a great money manager is someone who will not let you do that without realizing that you're doing it. So you have to make a choice when you deal with Zach. You can listen to evidence and data and facts, or you can listen to your gut, your emotion, and your feelings.
About 50%.
But I think, you know, I didn't realize how good Zach was at that until I had been in the business for a lot of years and I had watched other people do it. And I didn't know that that wasn't normal. It's certainly something that makes him unique, and it's what makes him a powerful component of our partnership, but also what makes our firm great for clients.
Thanks, Scott. And Zach, introduce Mr. David Stanley, please.
David Stanley, our CEO, Stanley the Manly. David's an incredible people person. I mean, I don't think anyone who's ever met David will ever forget David for a lot of reasons, but especially in this town with the name David Stanley too. He's used to dealing with us. We have a famous car dealer in town with the same name, but he surpasses that in every way. And, what I appreciate about David so much is he always puts himself in the shoes of the client. He's really good. Anytime we're talking about anything, he said, well, how's the client going to perceive this? Or how is it going to feel to the client? And that, to me, is the true heart of a fiduciary. I mean, we have to act in the best interest of our clients. If we can't understand what the client is going to experience, then we can't be true fiduciaries. And David leads us in every way in that sense. And then, you know, as we were thinking about creating Full Sail Capital, David's track record of building firms, building teams, growing assets over time was such a tremendous asset to us because he's done it his whole career. He's been incredibly successful. So it's been very fun to watch him continue to grow in that role and be CEO. I think he could have been CEO at any number of firms and had a lot of success. We're very fortunate to have him here.
And I'll just add to that I remember reading an article that was in the newspaper when David said, I'm going to take this place to, you know, $1 billion. That's my goal, is to get there. And I remember reading that going, man, that is bold. Like, who says that? But then when he called and said, hey, come interview over here, that's 100% the reason that I went and interviewed. And it's that level of confidence that he brings to us because he has the experience and the track record to back it up.
So you all have various experiences in the financial industry. And I'm sure at various points in your career, you thought to yourself that I could do this better. Everybody, myself excluded, of course, because I'm working at Full Sail, has had that thought. But when did Full Sail Capital start to kind of move from an idea towards reality for each of you? And was there a mastermind behind this as well?
I can lead out and answer that. So I'd worked for several firms over my career. I've been doing this well over 30 years, and all in the active management, all of them active managers. I drank the Kool-Aid there. Hey, we're not going to go as high as the market when the market's up. We're not going to go as low as the market. We're going to cut out the highs and lows, and over time you have a really good return without that volatility. Well, it's fun to believe in something. It's another thing to have someone show you the facts of what you believe are absolutely wrong. And I will tell you, Zach did a phenomenal job. He understood that I had a very deep bias towards active management.
So he may not have been emotional, but he understood you had emotions about this.
He very much did, and was he took his time with showing me this over time. You know, you'd show up at work and there'd be a white paper sitting on your keyboard, or he'd call me at home on a Saturday night and go, "Hey man, have you thought about this?" And over time, I will tell you, I've learned one thing. My wife says this to me all the time: "Honey, never get to where you're not teachable. Always learn." And I want to be that guy. Over time, there was just no way to refute what he was talking about, that active management destroys value for your clients. And I am very much, like Zach said, how does what we do benefit our client? I think that's ground zero where you start on anything and everything you do for them. How are we benefiting them? After that evidence, you had to look at yourself and say, guys, there's a better way to do this. And to do this, we're probably going to have to do this on our own, because no firm is going to make a sea change like this. And so I will say, if there was one that instigated it or was the mastermind, I wouldn't even really call it that. It was just the one who educated us on a better way to do it was Zach.
I'll just add real quickly that I think what I had been told at the places that I worked previously was that the investment business has become a commodity, that there's no value in that service, that you can go to Vanguard and you can buy one index fund and that's all you ever have to do. And that's just not true. And so there was misplaced value by what had become a culture, especially in the space where we found ourselves. You think that's fair, Zach?
I think that's fair. I mean, to be clear, it's not like I had always felt that way either. It took me, I'm a slow learner. It took me 10 years of picking stocks, of doing research, of reading the white papers that David talked about before I came to the incontrovertible conclusion that I was not adding value in many cases when I was out trying to pick between Coke and Pepsi. You know, once you get to that point, you've got a hard decision to make, right? You can keep doing it because it's easy and you're employed and you're making good money or whatever. Or you can say, no, I need to make a change. I want to be a true fiduciary. What I knew, though, was I couldn't go do this on my own. I have a particular set of skills, but I need people around me to help me to add value in other ways to clients. And that's why, you know, it was really easy to go to Scott and David and say, guys, here's what I believe. If you believe that too, then let's talk about what it would look like if we got to have a whiteboard and draw up our own firm. Let's talk that through. And, you know, I think it got really exciting after that because we were able to say, here's what we really like about the trust company world, right? We are all fiduciaries. That is our true north. Let's continue that. But is there a different way we can do it where we are consistent with our investment philosophy, but maybe we bring things like better technology to our clients, right?
Take me through from that whiteboard where you're drawing up your firm to hanging up your shingle as Full Sail Capital.
I'll weigh in on that a little bit. And I want to go back and at least address one thing Zach just mentioned. Another thing that gave him tremendous credibility with someone like me was, here's a guy, he's a CFA. Him having in a definite opinion through the evidence against active management was literally like taking a gun and shooting a hole in his own foot, because that's what they hang their hats on. That gave him a lot of credibility as well, that he could recognize as someone who is getting to where he's mastering this craft, sees it and goes, hey, this isn't good. Through circumstances not in our own control, we were kind of thrown out to where we had to start our firm a little earlier than we thought we were going to have to. And it was fantastic. It put our legs under us. We were able to tell our story to the clients who decided they wanted to call us. We made not one outgoing phone call, not one. The clients who followed us were people that had to find us and call us. And to this day, we still have people that'll show up in a restaurant, or we'll have a common client that's a friend, and they'll go, how come you didn't call me? And I go, well, we couldn't call you. It was ethically and legally something we just weren't going to do. And now they're actually talking to us about wanting to meet. From talking stage to the launching stage, there's a lot that takes place there. And we had a lot there, but we were able to do a lot of it because when we launched, we couldn't do business for 2 weeks at all. So we did a lot of the mechanics of getting the business up and going during that time. But we had a lot of help. We had a lot of energy, a lot of help.
So for 2 weeks, you were unable to do business and you did not know if there were going to be any clients that came with you.
Yes.
Talk to me about where you guys were emotionally during those 2 weeks.
Well, I always say, you know, pressure is nature's, you know, laxative or whatever. I mean, it's kind of that way for us. We were more than regular, I'm sure, during that time. Hey, listen, when you do this, it's scary, but I will tell you, when I could look up and look at these two, my fear would go away pretty quick.
Well, that fear is just like emotion should be, you know, overcome with evidence and facts in the investment world. So too is your emotion overcome by the reality that you believe in what you're doing. And on the investment side, we knew what we were doing was better. What got me excited was for 10 years at two different shops, I was always told why we shouldn't do something, why you shouldn't get involved in that, you know? And the story David told at the outset was a good example of that. There were a lot of shops that if a client called and said, well, I guess I got to pay this plumber $40,000 because I don't know what else to do. Why? Let's go look at it. Why wouldn't we get involved? Our job is to serve people. So let's engage. Let's do the things that are not expected as opposed to the things that are just expected. And that's what will make you different. It's easy to say, and it's really hard to do because there's always a reason why you shouldn't. You know, my background is really in real estate. And when you talk to trust companies, any trust company about real estate, it's pay the taxes, make sure it's insured, don't touch it because we don't want any liability. Who would manage a portfolio by not touching it, by not doing anything, not doing tax loss harvesting or rebalancing an account? No, you engage with any asset. And it amazed me that it was a hands-off approach to anything that wasn't clean.
Well, and if you take that to another step, even beyond that, if you go to the brokerage world, what broker that you call for that money is going to go, I have a guy on my team that can come out and help you with this, or they're going to go out themselves. No, they're going to move the money over.
And I say this to clients all the time, and I bet they think that it's just like our, industry speak, it's not. It's our company speak. It's our culture is, if a client has a problem, my job is to figure out how to solve it. And I don't have to have all the answers, right? But you got to know where to find those. And that's what a great team is all about. And I think that's what makes us different. And as we were getting out, that's what got me excited, was I knew that we could build it and we saw it. And we were hearing things from our clients that we couldn't do for them. Right. We couldn't engage with them that way.
The other thing that struck me after we started the firm was how many clients would say things like, oh, well, now you understand, right? Because now you're a business owner. So many of the clients we work with, they create their wealth through starting a company, or they left a company and they started a company. And so so many of them, it was very gratifying to hear them say, yeah, I figure at some point you'd probably want to go do it on your own, and I'm glad to support you. And we always tell those clients, I know David does a great job of this. Anytime we see him, we really, those first people, the first phone calls we got are always going to be so meaningful for us, because we're a $1 billion plus firm now. It was, it's not hard to look at us. We have a track record. We have credibility. Day one, when we've got a folding table where you're signing your documents, that's a different level of trust from a client. And that's always going to be so meaningful to us.
Yeah. We had no furniture in our office and a folding temporary conference table that some of our folks we'd worked with in the past came and signed their paperwork, which, as you'll recall, we had to hand write right. their forms at the time. And to do that is an incredible, you just never forget that.
Don't cut us short. Our folding chairs had padding.
That's true.
Our folding chairs had padding.
Have you added any padding to the walls for sound reduction?
No. And I will say too, one of the comments that I had that from really one of our largest clients that came with us, that just still resonates with me. When he called me and he goes, what are you doing? And I walked through the story of what we were doing and said, hey, you're going to be, if you don't decide to come with us, you're going to be well served. But if you do, here's what we're doing, and here's what we're doing a little differently. And he said, let me stop you right there. I do business with people. I don't do business with organizations. What day can you get over here and just bring your paperwork? And it was amazing to me. Again, it just solidified with me that you think a lot of times people are doing business with a logo or a name. I think more and more, and especially people who have been wildly successful, they do business with people.
Agreed. And that's something I think we all constantly remind ourselves of too. Our employees, our partners, they create the value for the clients, and we want to make it as hard as possible for those people to ever leave. And that means, making a great work environment. So I think we learned a lot of lessons through that whole process.
I agree with that.
So I've heard you guys kind of saying it, but you started Full Sail to set yourselves apart and be different. 3 years later, what sets Full Sail Capital apart?
I'll start with our service model. We take a team approach to everything we do. And I can honestly say everyone in our office has either called upon me or I have called upon them to add value to a client relationship. And I'm always excited to do it because I think it allows us to demonstrate the way we approach solving problems for clients. When you ask us to engage, we're going to do it. And we're going to bring the people to the table that can best solve that problem. And we continue to grow our firm in such a way that we're bringing folks in who can solve more problems. And that's part of our magic, if you will.
As we've grown in terms of assets and revenues, that's allowed us to add more skill sets. And I think that, the firm should just get better and better over time if we keep doing that. The other thing we have now is a track record. I mean, we've talked a lot about investment philosophy. It's one thing to go say that to a client. Here's what we believe. It's another to now be able to demonstrate, hey, we've done this and it's worked well.
Absolutely. And when we bring on somebody else, our new teammate, they're always coming out of shops where they've either been siloed or they're taking care of their book of business. And it's so refreshing when you get the right one. It's refreshing because they're like, wow, I've never been able to go down the hall and ask somebody to help me with a client issue. Or within our company, I got a tax issue. I got a CPA down the hall. I walk down, ask for a client. Got a real estate issue. Or I need to analyze an outside real estate investment for a client. Roll down with Scott. No other firm that we know of has that kind of resources.
Well, and in a lot of firms and a lot of shops, it's looked upon as weakness, right? I mean, it's looked at as if you have to go ask for help, that's weak. No, that's smart.
So tell me about how you have expanded from your initial group and what your plans are going forward in terms of personnel expansion.
Like Scott and David said, I mean, we've added those skill sets of a CPA, for example. We are looking actively to add additional skill sets going forward. Oklahoma City is a great place to have an RIA. It's an underserved market in terms of RIAs. We're the largest, if not the largest, we're close at this point. And I think there's a lot more room to grow. I think there are great advisors out there, whether they're at banks, trust departments, wirehouses, wherever they are, who have unique skill sets, who probably are at some stage of that development that we were all experiencing 5 or 6 years ago, going, you know, I like a lot about what we do, but I think there's a better way. And, you know, our goal as management here is to make Full Sail Capital an attractive place for those people to come. I really look forward to, you know, what the next 5 years brings in terms of adding new advisors.
Especially when you look at someone coming out of the wirehouse world, the ones we're looking for there have operated as a fiduciary in taking care of their clients. They're fee-based, and they've been just very transparent with their clients. Even though the world they operate in the wirehouse world is a suitability world, which at times can be, there is a Y in the road where the advisor can look at what's good for me and what's good for you. There's a one-way street with us. We're straight fiduciaries. We can only do what's best for our clients. So I can't imagine how wonderful it is to be able to go, hey, I found a firm I can partner with where I can be completely a fiduciary for you. Everything's going to be a lot more transparent. You're going to see every fee you're going to pay, and you're going to have people that can only do what's in your best interest. That, to me, is a powerful story. But I will say those individuals are hard to find. Even the ones that want to come out, they're hard to find because it's hard to find people who just have a heart for their clients.
And that's what's got to be first, is the character of the person is tantamount to anything else. And they've got to love to serve people, and they've got to love to, you know, work with people. And it's harder to find than you would think.
So I heard you say no planned changes or firings in the investment management group. I'm good.
None so far.
Okay.
High marks for especially the investment analysts.
Just wanted to go and get that on public record here. Zach, one of the things you said was Oklahoma City is a great place for an RIA. And is it fair to say that Oklahoma City is not known as the finance capital of the world?
Fair.
So, David, I'm going to ask you this question because of your background. You were an Army brat. How many times did you move before you graduated from high school?
19 times by the time I graduated high school. And my brother is 7 years older than me, and he always knew when my dad came home with the manila envelope that we were moving, because those were orders. And I always wondered, why is this guy crying every time he sees a manila envelope? I mean, anyway, it was an incredible way to grow up, a hard way to grow up, although the roots of my family are Oklahoma. My grandfather down in Comanche County, he was an extension agent for 30 years. Heart and soul of our family came out of Lawton. So Oklahoma was not unfamiliar to me. And I will say this, Omaha wasn't the financial capital of the world either until a really great investment firm grew up out of there, led by Warren Buffett. Not to say we're there yet, but we're on his heels. We're on his heels. And we got a little more time. We're a little younger.
So from a business perspective, why would a finance firm choose Oklahoma City?
You look at Oklahoma City, it's wonderful. A lot of wealth has been created here. The people and the culture of this part of the world, we're in the heart of the heartland, right? And the people are principled, hardworking, good people. They actually really, really appreciate it if someone that works for them works hard for them and is successful for them. Which makes a perfect client for us. And it is a good base for us. I mean, we do have clients outside of Oklahoma City. We have clients in Scottsdale, and it's easy to get there from here should we need to go see them. So Oklahoma City is centrally located, wonderful culture, wonderful people, and it is a place that I think is going to exponentially grow over the next two decades.
Yeah, COVID's really shown that geography, it still matters very much, and there's nothing like being in the room with people, but Zoom and all of the technology we have allowed that. So Zach and Scott, I'd like to hear your thoughts on how Oklahoma City has positively or negatively impacted Full Sail as a business.
Yeah, I think David did a really good job explaining a lot of the positives. I mean, I grew up here, so, you know, I'm very comfortable here. I understand the appeal of some other places. David mentioned Scottsdale. We have a lot of clients who have second homes out there. We have clients, I think, in 17 states now. So we certainly can service clients in other places. But you're right. With technology these days, it's easy for us to take care of people or have a Zoom meeting. Scott could probably do a better job talking about some of the exciting things that are going on in Oklahoma City going forward, given his great involvement in municipal government.
Yeah, but you don't want to get me going on that subject because we'll be here a long time.
You could be brief.
Time. Yeah. I mean, so I've lived in Oklahoma City my whole life. My grandfather was involved in city government for a long time. And, you know, it's a different city, not a little bit. It's a completely different city than it was when I was a kid. I remember you could go downtown and you had your choices of eating out at either Spaghetti Warehouse or Spaghetti Warehouse. And if you were lucky and you went down in October, you could go through the Brewer's Haunted House you ate at Spaghetti Warehouse. You think about what's happened here. It's crazy. I mean, to focus on what advantages our firm, it's a number of things. It's an incredibly attractive place from both standard and cost of living. It is a very low overhead environment in comparison to, you know, RIAs that are based out of major cities. Things like rent and other issues that are just, you know, an exorbitant part of a firm's overhead gives us better ability to put our resources to work in things like technology and tools and client service and in, you know, creating a great environment for employees, which Zach alluded to a little bit ago. So I think those are all advantages of being in a smaller market. It's just an underserved market by and large. And the people that we're serving the market all fit into the same buckets. They're either a brokerage model. There's some form of a trust company or a trust company based inside of a bank. And those were your two choices. It's like, you know, Henry Ford. You can have a Model T in any color so long as it's black. It's the same. I mean, it was the same thing. You have your money managed as long as you want it managed this way. And I think that's helped us a lot. I really do.
And Full Sail is about to turn 3 years old. During that time span, for each of you, what do you look back on with the most fondness or even pride?
When I look back on the last 3 years, it feels like, in some respects, it feels like 6 months. In some respects, it feels like 10 years. But when I look back on it, I'm just thrilled. You always love it when you see what you truly believe turn into and are validated by reality. We saw that. We saw everything we believed in creating this firm become reality. It's not only pride, I'm grateful. We look back for when you have a belief become reality, it's very, very satisfying.
I think for me, watching Full Sail go from a firm that had mainly built on, you know, clients that the kind of founding group brought along with them in some sense. And when you have that, you have a good business, but it's kind of an ensemble practice that relies so much on the relationships that David Stanley has or Scott Cravens has, right? To, you know, 6 months in, George Colmia from Wells Fargo Advisors joins us and adds a whole new element to the firm. And then guys like you, Dexter, and Tyler, and Stacey Murray, and Ashlyn, and Kate, and Catherine, just watching the team that we've assembled has transformed us from kind of an ensemble practice that was very much relationship based on a few people to a firm and an enterprise. And so David and I laugh sometimes when we get a new account in sometimes these days, we may not have met the person. And that's a very different feeling from when we first started. And so it's cool to watch us kind of grow as a business. And I think that's what gets me excited thinking about the future.
For me, just, you know, when you say pride or fondness, it would just be the work. It would be the work that we've put in over the past 3 years, which is in a roundabout way what David was saying when he said it feels like 10 years and 6 months all at the same time. There's nobody here that's afraid to roll up their sleeves and do what they have to do to get it done. And that's what we've done for 3 years and we'll continue to do in the years ahead. But from a fondness standpoint, we've done a lot of work to get to where we are. And that's something that I'm really, really proud of.
I can't think of a better spot to end than there. Thank you so much, guys.
All opinions expressed by the host and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Full Sail Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of Full Sail may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please review and subscribe through your preferred podcast platform. Have a great week.